Morning, Honey Ridge family and friends. Let's pray. Father, we ask you for your help this morning, that we may understand your word and apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we look at the next few verses in James, let's briefly revise some of the things that we've learned from James so far. James reminded us to take courage and count it a privilege to be going through difficult times, because they provide an opportunity for us to move towards completeness and spiritual maturity. Also, we've seen that God promises to give us wisdom in those trials to handle them well when we ask Him in faith. We've also seen that in God's economy, we're not spared from misfortune, and we shouldn't use the world's standards of comfort and ease as the lens through which we interpret reality, but rather we should use our Bibles to properly interpret and understand reality. So today we'll be looking at God's goodness in the context of difficulties and trials, because that is what we've seen. Difficulties and trials are the context that we live in, and we'll focus on verses 16 to 18 in James chapter 1. But let me read from verse 13 to also remind us of yesterday's message. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I'm being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So let's try and understand what James is saying here, especially when he uses some rather strange terms that we don't normally use in our everyday conversations, like Father of lights, variation and shadows due to change, or the whole concept of first fruits. Verse 16 is probably the easiest part of these verses, and James says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers." We see that he's talking to beloved brothers, fellow believers, and James cautions them to not be deceived. And that's to say, he warns them and us that we shouldn't allow anyone to trick us into believing something that's not true. And here in particular, he's cautioning us to not believe something that's not true about God. The danger back then and now is that we believe that God is not good, and that in some way he's responsible for us being tempted to sin. But as we'll see, James is actually saying, do not be deceived, God is good. Moving on, in verse 17, James says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights. The fact that he uses the word every means that all good gifts are included and none are excluded. If there's anything good in this world, in your life, in mine, anywhere and at any time, then it's from above, from God. This makes God the only source of goodness, and by implication, it means that there cannot be any good apart from God. Let's look at the interesting way in which James describes God. He says that God is the Father of lights. Commentators agree that this refers to the realm of astronomy, not astrology, with all its horoscopes, psychic readings, and that kind of thing. Astronomy, which is the study of celestial or heavenly objects. Think telescopes. So, with that in mind, God as the Father of lights refers to God as the creator and author of all the heavenly lights. For instance, we read in Genesis 1 verse 16, God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. So this obviously refers to the sun, the moon, and the stars. And if we think for a moment about the functions and the benefits of the sun, we see that without the sun, plants couldn't grow, animals would starve, and all the oceans would freeze over. And what that means is that life as we know it would cease. The fact that God blesses us with the sun as one of these heavenly lights shows us that God is indeed good. And to describe him as the Father of lights is one way to help us to visualize and remember this. The second part of verse 17 says that there's no variation or shadow of change in God. I like the picture that Richard Baxter uses to help illustrate God's consistent goodness. Baxter compares God to the sun, and he says that the sun stays the same, even though the earth, through its rotation, makes it seem as though the sun is changing, for instance at sunset, where its color changes. Or if you look at the clouds, sometimes they make it seem like the sun changes and varies in its power or presence. Sometimes it just doesn't seem like the sun is there. But actually we know that no matter the circumstances, the environments and the surrounding, the sun remains the same. So like the sun, God is unchanging and unvarying, and the changes and shadows come not from any variation or shadows in him, but from other sources. So in summary, verse 17 says that all good things come from God, who made the heavens with all of its lights, and that he does not change. His goodness is constant and always present. The last verse for this morning, verse 18, also speaks of God's goodness, and it refers to his supreme act of goodness towards us. The verse reads, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." James speaks here of our salvation. And just as we couldn't cause ourselves to be born physically, we can't cause our own spiritual birth. It's simply not possible to make ourselves come alive. And anyone would think you crazy if you said you caused your own birth. But so many people in the world believe they caused their own spiritual birth, and it's just not true. The bringing forth, the spiritual birth, comes from God on his own initiative, and it's his greatest act of goodness towards us. Of his own will, God gave us new birth, spiritual birth, and life. And James says that he did so through the word of truth. Think back on your own conversion and how God used the word of truth to give you his ultimate gift of goodness, which is salvation through Christ. The last part of verse 18 speaks of first fruits. You may remember that God required his people Israel to offer their first fruits to him from their harvest. The first fruits refer to the best part or the pick of the crop. And here, the first fruits refers to the harvest of souls, those who have believed the word of truth. Now, the offering of first fruits was actually also set apart for God and dedicated to him. And so are we as believers, as this harvest of souls. We're set apart for God's service, for his glory. So not only do we have the great honor of being part of God's harvest, but we are also set apart for God as holy. In summary then, these verses tell us that we should not be deceived into thinking that God is not good. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God, the Father of lights, who does not shift or change, but is good at all times. He initiated our spiritual birth through Christ, which is the greatest evidence of his goodness, and that through the harvest of our souls, we are set apart for him, for his service. Now, sometimes, maybe especially now during lockdown, we lose sight of God's goodness, like when the sun is blocked by thick clouds. And in these times, we can be deceived into thinking that the sun isn't there, or we simply forget that it's still there. Let's be reminded that as the sun doesn't change and it still blazes with all its energy and warmth, although it's behind the clouds, God is also still there in all of his goodness, and it's a blazing goodness. We may not know exactly when the clouds will break up, but on those difficult days, sometimes all we need is a bit of hope. Someone to remind us that the sun is still there and that it's still shining. And this kind of reminds me of my time in Switzerland, where there would be no sun from about September to January. But sometimes all I needed was a brief trip onto a mountain that reached above the clouds, and then I was encouraged and filled with hope to carry on for the next few weeks. And I pray that God's Spirit, through these verses in James, convinces us that God is still there and that He is still good, that you may also see above the clouds, even just for a few moments, to gain strength and to carry on. And in fact, we have a guarantee that we will see God's goodness again, latest when He returns and takes us to our real home. I'd like to end by reading what God showed the Apostle John about our future as believers. We'll be in God's immediate presence, and we will forever experience His goodness without any shadows or temptations or darkness. Let these words of God give you hope for a 100% certain future. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and there will be no night there. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I'm coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.